Beloved congregation, the text verse for the sermon of tonight you find in the scripture part that we have been reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I read the first part of verse 9. The first part of verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The title of this sermon is, My grace is sufficient for thee. We have three points of attention. The first point is a thorn in the flesh. The second point, what it does to Paul. And the third point, what it teaches us. So the title of the sermon is, My grace is sufficient for thee. 3 points of attention, a thorn in the flesh, what it does to Paul, and what it teaches us. Dear congregation, there was a young boy and he was helping his father in the yard. Maybe you do that sometimes, children, boys, girls. And he came inside and he said, Mom, it hurts. What hurts? His mother said, I have something sharp here in my hand and I really cannot continue to work because it hurts so much. Everything I touch, it hurts. And his mother looked and she said, I see it. There's a thorn in your hand. Let me pull it out. Let me take it out so that you can continue to help your father. The boy was so happy when his mother took it out. So painful. You might know what it means that you had it someday. Or maybe in your foot. Every step you did, it hurts. You cannot walk that way, do you? You cannot work that way. You cannot continue. If there's a thorn in your flesh, not just a sharp piece of wood under your skin and you think, well, maybe one day I better get it out, but a thorn that's going deep in your flesh. Every time you touch something, it hurts. You can cry. Now, Paul had such a thing. He is writing about it in this chapter. There's a thorn, or you could translate a sharp thorn in his flesh. And not literally, he is using it as an example. There's something in his life that hurts. It hinders him. Every time. It makes it so hard to live for the Lord, to serve the Lord. And oh, he has such a desire to get rid of it, like the boy running to his mother. Paul has a desire that it would be taken away. What is it? What was it with Paul? That thorn, that sharp thorn, what does he mean? Some say, well, it might have been a disease of his eyes. So that hindered him. And they say that because you read in Galatians 4, verse 15, that he is writing to the Galatians and he says, You would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. But it could be that it's just an expression to show how much the Galatians loved Paul when he is ministering, when he was ministering among them. I'm not sure if it was an eye disease. Some say There was a problem for Paul in speaking. Some people have a problem when they have to speak. And they say, well, that might have been the case with Paul. Because we read in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, that Paul writes, they say, his letters are powerful, but his speech is contemptible. So he couldn't speak in a way that it would impress people. Maybe he was hindered in speaking, couldn't easily utter every word, but that's not sure. Might not be the case. It might just be that it means, well, he's not speaking like the wise men and preachers of the world that know how to construct their speech in a very wonderful way. Well, that was not the goal of Paul. He wanted to bring the message. So it might be that they contempted him for that reason. What was it, that thorn in the flesh of Paul? Something that hurt, that was so painful for him, that hindered him? Or was it maybe the remembering of his previous life? How he had sinned in such a horrible way, in persecuting the church of God. He's writing about that. I'm the least of the apostles because I've persecuted the church of God. And he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Was he attacked about that, remembering what he had done? Satan attacked him. Maybe you understand that, how your life that you lived before you were converted can be a burden to you. Yes, you know it is forgiven. You know grace. That does not mean that you do not remember your sins. Does David not say, Psalm 25, Lord, do not remember the sins of my youth. He knew forgiveness. It can come back. It can hinder you. It can take some boldness away when you have to warn, correct people, your children. It comes to you, but who are you? You can have such a struggle with your sins from the past. Was it that? Maybe. We don't know. We don't know for sure. Because it's not written what it was. Maybe that's good. Because then all at a sudden, it's about me. What I experience in my life, what is so hard for me, it hurts, so painful. And many times I think, if that would not be there, it would be so beneficial. It would be easier for me to do what I have to do in the service of the Lord. To live with joy with the Lord, to live with love and for my neighbor, so there can be something in your life that feels like a thorn in the flesh, maybe a physical weakness that you have, or mental weakness, or maybe tension in your family, in your marriage. It's so hard for you. It's such a struggle. how to deal with it. Maybe the painful loss that you have experienced in your life. Or maybe, like we said about Paul, your previous life, that you sinned away so many years and now you experience the consequences of that life and they might never go away. It was so bad, Paul describes it like it was an angel of Satan, a demon you could say, who would beat him, who would strike him, buffet him, strike him sharply and repeatedly. And it was always there. Paul, a servant of the Lord, and then such a hardship. That's possible. We know that. The Psalms speak about it. There are many tribulations for God's children. And how hard it is to deal with it. So what does it do to Paul? Let us think about it. How is he dealing with it? Paul is praying. Paul is praying about it. So it's good to have that clear, that it is allowed to pray, O Lord, I beseech Thee, Thou would take this away from me. We can think about the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of His life, when He experienced the heat of the wrath of God, and He was kneeling down in the dust and praying, Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Christ was praying that 3 times. But never forget, when we pray about this sharp thorn in our lives, never forget to pray what Christ was praying. Not my will, but Thy will be done. That's grace. That is grace, if you can pray that from the heart. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Thou knowest, Thy wisdom, what is good and needed for me. So Paul has been praying about it. He says, I prayed thrice about it. So then you can wonder, does the number 3 mean, is it symbolic? Does it mean he prayed many times? Maybe. But I'm inclined to think he prayed 3 times. And then the Lord made it clear to him. The Lord spoke to Paul and showed him that he had to continue with that painful thorn in his flesh. But that he also could continue. And how he could continue with that painful thing in his life. Something that it hurt him so much. So why was it there in the life of Paul? Paul, a dear child of God, a dear servant of the Lord. He had such a zeal for the Lord. There was so much of the love of Christ in his heart. It was like a burning fire. And he had such a desire that people would be reconciled to God because of that love of Christ in his heart. And then this thing, why was it? Why did God not take it away? Paul knows. Paul knows why it is there in his life. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure, verse 7, through the abundance of the revelation. So he knows the reason of this sharp thorn is to keep me from pride, so that I will walk in a humble way with the Lord, to keep me from pride. We all are so ready to be proud, all of us. Yes, even when we confess grace, when we know the Lord, we are so inclined, so ready to become proud. And pride is such an evil thing. It is preventing us from being fruitful and useful in the hand of the Lord. And yet we all have it. It's a sin from paradise. It's deep in our corrupt hearts. It's there. It's a depravity of our sinful heart, that sinful inclination of to be proud. All of us. There's so little needed. And there we exalt ourselves in pride. And God doesn't want it in the life of Paul. That's why he gave him a sharp thorn. Pride, I said, is hindering us to be useful and fruitful in this life for the Lord and for our neighbor. You can think about Psalm 19. There we read about it. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Then shall I be upright and innocent from great transgression. We can understand it. If there's pride, we look for the glory of ourselves and not for the glory of the Lord. And to serve the Lord is to live to His glory and not to my own glory. So God did such a beneficial, such a good thing to Paul by giving him this sharp thorn in the flesh. And what about you? What about me? Can we see that? That the Lord is wise in His way in our lives. We need faith for that. We need to trust the Lord. Otherwise I become angry, frustrated, bitter. I would be inclined to turn away. If this is the result, serving the Lord, I don't like it. That's the flesh. That's my sinful nature. By grace, I understand. And I believe that God is using these things for good. For those that love Him, and are called according to His purpose. Paul was in danger to become proud because he had such exceptional revelations that he received. And he's writing about it here in the beginning of chapter 12. He's writing in a way as if he's writing about someone else, because he doesn't want to put himself in the center. But he's still writing about it because he's trying to prevent that the false teachers would take over the position in the church to destroy the church. So it's about the souls of the people in the church of the Corinthians. That's why he's writing about it. And then he's writing about what happened to him, what the Lord gave him. He's writing about the revelation that he doesn't know if it was in the body or without the body, that he was caught up to the third heaven. What does it mean? So the first heaven, we can think about a heaven where the birds and the clouds are, and the second heaven where the sun, the moon, the stars are, and then above that we have the third heaven. That's where God is. And Paul, he was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven, to see the glory of that place where God is. And he saw things, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not, lawful or possible for a man to utter. Why would Paul receive such an exceptional revelation? If you read the previous chapter, you can conclude that the Lord gave him this revelation as a strong encouragement. Because in that chapter, if you would read from verse 23, and then you can read about all his suffering. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths, oft of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, often was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been at the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, and so on and so on. And then this 12th chapter is following. It feels like the Lord gave him this exceptional revelations to encourage Paul to continue in the service of the Lord. And then at the same time it brought him in danger to become proud. What is man? Paul, a man who knows grace, who knows the love of Christ, who knows the power of the Spirit in his life, then in danger to become proud of spiritual revelation. Oh, how much we have to watch and pray that even those blessings of spiritual insight and revelation and knowledge can become a reason for our sinful nature to become proud, to esteem ourselves more than others instead of less. And then Satan would be glad. He would be happy. He would break our ministry and our usefulness in this life. So God wants to use Paul as a tool in a rich and abundant way to extend his kingdom. And that's why he gave him a thorn in the flesh and did not take it away. Paul needed it. He was praying about it. And that's allowed But the Lord was speaking to him. How did the Lord speak to him? We don't know. Was it in an audible voice? Maybe. Maybe not. The Lord is still speaking. You know that? Do you experience it? The Lord speaking to you? How would the Lord do that, young people? How would the Lord speak to us? He is speaking through His Word. He can speak to us by different ways, but we always have to test it to the Word. It can never be that the Lord would speak to us in a way that is against what is written in the Bible. If that would be the case, then it's not from the Lord. It's from the Prince of Darkness. So the Lord is speaking today. When the Word is preached, and the Gospel is proclaimed, that the Holy Spirit is using it. And you heard it many times before, but now it's so powerful. It's like an arrow in your heart. You cannot get rid of it anymore. The Lord is speaking to us when we read His Word. And then it comes with so much power. It's working such a conviction in my heart. I'm so convinced this is the truth. This is God speaking to me. There's no doubt at that moment about if this is the truth, the Word of God. God is speaking. God was speaking to Paul. And Paul knew, because of the speaking of the Lord, that he had to continue to live with that painful thorn in his flesh. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That was the answer to the prayer of Paul. Maybe you struggle with the question, does God hear my prayers? Maybe you say, I cannot tell that the Lord is hearing my prayers. He is hearing your prayers. I'm so sure of that. It is written in the Word. And many of us have experienced that, isn't it true? How many times did I experience it? But never forget, God is hearing our prayers and answering it in His way and His time. And His way is better than my way. So here is an answer for Paul. The Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul was praying that a thorn would be taken away from his flesh. And the answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee. And that was better. And in this, because in this way, Paul was more useful to serve the Lord. If souls from eternal damnation, to bring them to the knowledge of Christ, so that they will be in glory with Him forever. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. What does that mean? What is grace? Grace is the undeserved favor of the Lord. You know that? You know that by experience. To receive grace in your heart. That sweet experience of the love of God in Christ, in the forgiveness of all your sins. Grace. That sweet experience of communion with God. that God has embraced you in His eternal love as His dear child. Not because you are such a nice and good person, but for Christ's sake, that He has accepted you as His dear child, and you will always be. It can never change. Whatever you do, you might cause the Lord to rebuke or chastise you, that being a child of Him can never be taken away. Grace filling your heart. Oh, it's so hard to describe. You have to know that by faith, to experience it, to know what it means. Sometimes you can meet people, maybe from a totally different culture, a different language, a different background, and you talk about these things. You can tell this person knows grace, knows what it means to be forgiven. You can taste something of that humbleness, that tender love of the Lord in his or her life. My grace, Paul, is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, to receive my strength, to receive my power in your life, you need to be weak. This thorn is so helpful for you to be weak, to be aware, I cannot do it, Lord. I don't know how to continue in thy service. Everything I touch hurts. Every time I serve, I feel the pain. Oh, then how can Paul continue? Just look up to the Lord. Lord, help me this day. Help me also this time. What a blessed life. To depend so much on the Lord. And then there's room for the power of God in his life. It's like God is breaking the heart of Paul, so that through the cracks of his heart, the love of Christ, the power of Christ can fill his soul. My grace, sufficient for thee, for you. My strength made perfect in weakness. Our third point is what it teaches us. We can learn from this, what it teaches us. What the lessons there are in this history for us. Lessons so important to live with the Lord. The help of the Lord is received, where we come to the point that we are helpless. That's where the Lord brought Paul, that he couldn't serve because of that thorn. But he could, because the Lord gave him grace in his heart and strength in his weakness. So the lesson is, the Lord wants you and me to depend on Him. Christ is teaching we have to be like a child. Child in the time of the Bible was not important. Not at all. A child in the A child cannot help him or herself. It's totally depending on the care of someone else. The Lord wants us to live like child, depending on the Lord. The Lord wants us to live by grace, undeserved favor of the Lord. We are so busy. We are working so hard to make ourselves worthy. Then we hinder the Lord. So what kind of thorn do we need? What is it that the Lord has to use in my and your life so that grace will be sufficient for us and that His strength will be there in our weakness? Maybe you are here tonight or listening at home. You are well aware of a thorn in the flesh. And you have such a hard time to accept it and to continue. Well, let's listen to what Paul is teaching us at the end of this scripture part that we read. He says in verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches," in reproaches, "pleasure in infirmities. I want to be strong. I want to be able to help myself." Paul has learned his lesson. The Lord has been teaching him. He says, "I take pleasure in infirmities. When I experience, Lord, I cannot do this. I don't know how to continue." There's pleasure in the heart of Paul. How is that possible? In reproaches. Reproaches. That's hard. When people scorn you. When people turn their head away from you. When people speak negative about you. When you can see it in the expression on their face, how negative they think about you. Oh, it hurts you. But Paul says, "I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, situations of need, situations that I don't know how to get out of, that need, in persecutions, when I'm under pressure, and I'm persecuted, when people or things turn against me. In distresses, I take pleasure in those things." Why, Paul? Do we need to have joy in those things that feel so bad in our life? Well, the pleasure that Paul is speaking about is not so much about the things itself, because he knows and he has experienced that God is using those things. Like he says in Romans 5, "I glory in tribulations because I know it is working experience and long suffering in my life, and that is working hope, and I'm not ashamed because the love of Christ is shed abroad in my heart." That's it. So, why is there pleasure? Why is Paul taking pleasure in those things? Because he says at the end of verse 9, "I rather most gladly therefore will glory in my infirmities, that a power of Christ may rest upon me." He knows this is God's way in my life and with men. so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that is the best thing you can receive in life, that the power of Christ will rest upon you. That's how you can continue in reproaches and in need and in suffering, experiencing the power of Christ in your life. Are these not the situations? Yes, they are. Wherein you will look to the cross. In those situations you will see the love of Christ. He was reproached. He was in need. He was in infirmity. When he was hanging at the cross, his hands and his feet pierced to the wood. It was eternal love that we cannot comprehend. And in those situations where I feel the thorn, the infirmity, the reproach, and people turn their head away from me because they despise me, then I look to Christ. He was despised. Then I see something of how deep the love of Christ is. He was willing to go that way for a sinner like I am. Then I receive the power of His love in my heart. Strength of Christ resting upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We have a week of preparation for the Lord's Supper. And when I prepared this sermon, I thought about it. Is this true for me? But God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Is it really sufficient for me? Sufficient. Can I do without everything else? If the Lord would take everything away from me, what I possess, those whom I love, would the grace of Christ, the grace of God, be sufficient to me? If I would have to go in jail for Christ's sake, if I would have to suffer physically for Christ's sake, would the grace of Christ be sufficient for me? Would it? Is it? Can you say, is it sufficient for you? Oh, by nature and from ourselves, there are so many things in this world that we desire. And if the Lord will not prevent, He give it a higher position than God, than Christ, and then His grace. If God would not prevent, we would lose eternal joy and salvation for one moment or a short time of entertainment of the flesh. We need grace in our hearts to keep us from that. We need the love of Christ in our hearts. We need the strength of the Lord in our heart. And if your heart is full of the love of Christ, then you don't need it. You don't need the pleasure of sin. You don't need the entertainment of the world, because His grace is sufficient for you. Oh, that we would live more this way. And now, I'm sure, when you see it this way, like Paul saw it, by the light of the Word and of the Spirit, you will have peace. Will you not? Peace with God's way in your life. You will trust Him that He is not doing it wrong, but that He is doing to you what is good for you. Although you do not understand it, but you believe that God is good and that He will provide in what you need every day to walk in this way, in His way, the way that He is giving in your life. Congregation, let's take this question home. Is His grace sufficient for me? Then you will have a desire to give a testimony of the death of Christ at the table of the Lord about His grace that is sufficient to you.